Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Ball right on the 10 for a first and goal.
319! 319!
Short shot, quick throw, good move. And despite hanging on to the shirt into the end zone, goes Alan Lazard. Great move on Alex Austin that time. And the Jets fans, something to go wild about after last season. Great looking drive. On that drive, 8 plays, 73 yards, 3 rushes, 5 passes.
And Lazard's experience, understanding that there's any chance at any moment, Rodgers will abort a run play. That's an outside zone to the right. He comes out of it. Quick release, as always, from Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's not going to do Thursday Night Football and the reputation that it's developed of being a crappy football game any good, because that was a really crappy football game. Actually, I apologize in advance to all previous crappy football games, because most of the crappy football games that have been played before tonight's crappy football game were not nearly as crappy. That was about as crappy football games get. I continue to use the adjective crappy because I'm not allowed, even though it's quarter after 11 at night and we're supposed to be in safe harbor, I continue to use the adjective crappy. It's a proper descriptive because I can't use the words I would like to use. My God, I think the Patriots that we thought were going to be here this season, who didn't yet arrive because they won the first game of the year, and then they tried real hard in the second game, I think they're finally here. I can't confirm it. It's not verified. We are efforting that right now. Our research department is on it. But what I watched tonight was as boring, unpleasant, unentertaining, if that's a word, might be, might not, don't care. That's about as disinterested as I've been. Dispassionate. I was not engaged. I don't imagine you were as well. There was literally nothing fun, nothing enjoyable about that game. Oh, sure. You might have laughed a couple times when the referees called holding, not once, not twice, but 3 times in a row on the Patriots. The last time it happened, of course, turns out it wasn't a hold. It was a sack. Several Patriots were injured over the course of the night. Jabril Peppers left early with an ankle injury. Keon White looks to have injured his ankle, though he did walk off the field under his own power. We'll get you an update on that as the postgame progresses here on WEEI. Caden Wallace seems to have injured his knee. That's not great because the Patriots don't have any other left tackles. Hey, they scored as many runs as Shohei. They scored as many points as home runs Shohei Ohtani had tonight. Maybe he can play left tackle. I am dead inside. This team, boy, you know, Andy Hart and I said ages ago on the Six Rings podcast, and here we are now live once again on WEEI on the Six Rings postgame show until 1 a.m. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. The complaint line will be open until 1 a.m. We will try to shoehorn in head coach Gerard Mayo. He should be a bundle of joy. We'll see which quarterbacks speak to us. Maybe they'll let Drake May talk now that they let him into the game in the fourth quarter. He had a nice little scoot on fourth down. for a first down. Ah, oh, don't put me behind this line. You'll get him killed. Poor Jacoby Brissett. God, it hurts me. It hurts me every time I have to watch Jacoby Brissett get up. It's like watching your grandfather get off the toilet. Poor guy is just getting absolutely blasted back there. I know they're paying him $8 million to take the slings, arrows, knives, and daggers that the offensive line lets through on a regular basis. But my gosh, if you watch these games and you don't feel badly for Jacoby Brissett, well, apparently you never were born with empathy, or you just had your feelings surgically removed. The feelings that you used to have that now, of course, once again, are gone because the Patriots have made us all go dead inside. Andy, please, just can you find one thing? What was interesting about tonight's game? Aside from the fact, did the Pats have 100 yards of offense? I think they, like, maybe 110?
Yeah, they got over it late thanks to the garbage time Drake May drive. For a while there, they had less total yards than the Jets had penalty yards. The Jets had like 110 penalty yards. They had 90 yards. The one good thing I would say would have been Keon White until Keon White got banged up at the end and was slow to get up. So your kicker and punter are decent. I mean,
you got a good place kicker. Yep.
Yeah. And the punter can boom it.
Yeah. Wow. Man, he can boom it.
After that, we
both Drake wanted May to played be wrong about this game.
Drake May played and didn't get hurt. That's the
okay,
positive.
Yep. How many plays total?
I do not have the answer. I would probably say about 8, somewhere
looks,
in there.
Yep, looks like eight he went 10. 4 for 8 passing tonight for 22 yards.
Woo!
He got sacked twice. Is he okay?
I think so. He appears to be okay, even though his helmet came off at one point. His head was not in it, so that was good. And he could have had another completion. Mr. I want the ball, DeMario Douglas, alligator armed the slant over the middle. He was like, yeah, no, this game's over. I'm not catching that ball. That would be stupid. I might get hit.
Pop Douglas, by the way, on the night, 7 receptions for 69 yards.
So he'll be happy. He'll be there happy. Because all he seems to care about is his own production, not the team.
All right.
No, they fed him the ball, so he should be happy.
At this point now, they need to get the ball to anybody that can make a play, to anybody that can do something. I'm going to say straight up right now. Oh, here it comes. Here's old Harry Hot Take. Here's Henry Hyperbole Fitzy on his stupid take island. This might be the worst offense I've ever seen. The New England Patriots field, if not one of the 10 worst offenses I've seen in NFL history.
No.
This is
silly. Everybody guaranteed me the offense would be better.
Well,
I was called an idiot in the months of April, May, June, and July because when people said, I guarantee the offense will be better, I go, why? And everybody's like, do you see last year's offense? And I go, yeah. And I see the talent that's on this team. Like, why is it guaranteed to be better? I see the coach on this team. I see the lack of a scheme on this team. So I was told I was an idiot for not just assuming the offense would be better. And where are those people now?
Probably either in bed or asleep with their 7th 9% Imperial Pumpkin Ale.
Vomiting on their own bathroom floor.
I gotta be honest.
What?
As you know, Mr. Vitamin C, Captain Narragansett, one thing you know about your old pal Fitzy is that guy likes his beers. This is probably the right night for neither of us to be allowed to have one.
Yeah, I think that is... That is accurate.
I would just be in a diaper of my own sad, as opposed to sitting here almost emotionally removed from what would be mounting frustration, looking at the New England Patriots' dismal performance tonight in Aaron Rodgers' second homecoming, his first full official game as the QB1 of the Jetropolitans at MetLife Stadium. He looked terrific tonight. That looked like Aaron Rodgers from 6 years ago, but this is Jerod Mayo now.
Execute, and that's what it comes down to every Sunday. I told the guys, this is NFL football. This is what it is, and we just have to be better. So the guys will be off the next few days. Told them to, you know, get their minds right, get their bodies right, and then come back and be ready to work. Got a bonus Monday. Got another good team that we're going to go against next week. We just got to be better.
Jerod, your assessment of the offensive line in the preseason, how would you say grown since then, if at all, and kind of reflect on
that? Well, I thought the offensive line today had a hard time. There were times early in the game where the pockets looked pretty clean, but as the game wore on, similar to last week, you know, it started falling apart as far as the protections. And it's not only knowing you know, how to do it. It's also knowing what to do. And I would also say we have some injuries up front that, you know, the next man has to be ready to go.
Terrell, is this a mental, physical breakdown? Would you attribute both tonight?
The first thing, I got to look at myself in the mirror and make sure that, you know, I did everything I could to get the guys ready to go. And, you know, based on the score today, I need to do more. But going back to what I said earlier, just got to hit the reset button. It's NFL football, and we have to get better. I just thought it was an opportunity, a good opportunity for him to go out there with the ones and put a few drives together. He moved the ball. We'll watch the film and evaluate.
Did the performance of the offensive line give you any pause when it comes to putting Drake in that situation?
Well, like I said, in the second half, you know, I felt like our offensive line, they just weren't blocking the way they did at earlier parts of the game. It definitely was something that I thought of personally, but at the same time, I thought it was too good of an opportunity for him to go out there and get some experience.
Gerard only ran the ball 5 times in the first half today. There was a lot of talk this week about getting the ball to playmakers. Was the offense too concerned about getting the ball to playmakers?
I wouldn't say that. Look, we'll go back and look at the calls. What I will say is, you know, some of those plays are called from the huddle, and then others, you know, the quarterback has the ability to check, run, or pass. And look, I mean, what do we have, 100 yards in the first half? None of it was good, run, pass, or anything.
14 missed
tackles? Yeah, very uncharacteristic. And it's one of the things I'm very disappointed in as a, you know, defensive-minded coach. Especially, you know, the second level, we struggled all day as far as tackling. Once again, even when we hit them in the backfield, you know, just the lack of fundamentals, the lack of discipline, and the lack of just execution definitely continued to show up. But that was a very uncharacteristic for us. But once again, you only get one opportunity to go out there and perform.
Gerard, Jacoby got sacked 5 times. He's been hit 25 times, I think, in the first 3 games. How concerned are you for him? Going out there.
Yeah, you always got, you know, the quarterback touches the ball every play. We have to do better up front. We have to, you know, whether it's through scheme or whatever, we've got to reevaluate. And the good thing is it's Thursday, so it's a mini bye week where we as coaches can also reset and look at things that we could do better.
He gets up every time, regardless of the grimace or not. What does that say to you
about the game? It means a lot. It means a lot for a guy to, you know, continue to get up. Toughness is always a huge piece of the puzzle for a quarterback position. But we just got to do better as a team.
You said you were going to evaluate film based on quarterback performance. Is there a possibility you consider a change?
I don't know. Look, we talk about every single week, you know, you're competing for a job. So we'll get together as a coaching staff and see where it goes.
How much did you miss Bentley from the get-go on this one?
I mean, I don't want to deal with, like, hypotheticals, but Bentley's a huge piece of the defense, communication, tackling, physicality, all of those things. And, look, I have faith in those other guys. I have faith in Raekwon. I have faith in Jelani and the rest of those guys to get better. It's a learning experience. Once again, we have to learn from this loss and get better. Bentley is not coming back anytime soon, and that's the message.
Was it more of a surgical clinic from Rodgers, do you think, when it comes to what he did tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he was getting the ball out fast, and I would say one of the more disappointing things was that we talked about ad nauseum was to keep him in the pocket. And I felt like we had too many times let him out of the pocket, and this is a guy who can make all the throws.
When you make the decision to put Drake in at the end of the game and take out Jacoby, is that your decision or is it ABB?
That's my decision.
Okay.
Not keeping him in the pocket, is that just a lack of focus and discipline?
Yeah, it's a lack of discipline. It's a lack of execution. And I wish I could sit here and say, well, these are things that have showed up, you know, in practice, but they haven't. What I will say is there have been little things, not little things, they're big things, that happened last game that continue to show up today, and we have to get those corrected, and that starts with me.
How concerned are you about the offensive line, the health, the pass protection, and do you believe you have the right personnel to come out and do the product?
Look, we just got beat pretty handily, and I would say right now everything's of concern. The offensive line, you want those guys to be able to go out there as a unit and gel together, but, you know, whether through injury or through whatever it is, we just haven't found the right combination.
Gerard, you guys were much more competitive the first 2 weeks of the season. What do you think the biggest change was tonight?
I would say controlling the line of scrimmage. And not to sound like a broken record, the last few games I told you guys that I thought we did a good job controlling the line of scrimmage and being a tough football team. We just didn't show that today in any phase of the game.
What needs to happen in the next 10 days in your mind get ready to where you are to compete and beat San Francisco?
Look, we'll watch the film. Like I said before, we'll do a self-scout to see where we are. But once again, it comes back to fundamentals. I hate to keep saying that. That's what it is. And so we can sit there and, you know, talk about we should do this, we should do that. No, it's blocking, it's tackling, it's throwing, it's catching, it's running. It's all those things that we just did a poor job at.
Final question.
Thanks, guys.
Well, he didn't completely shoot down the notion of a quarterback change, Andy. Although all summer long we were told there was a competition, but it turns out it was actually not so much about the competition. It was about the plan. That was once again head coach Gerard Mayo on WEEI on the Six Rings postgame show following the Patriots 24-3. And it wasn't really even that close. Nope. Lost to the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium. Tonight's Six Rings postgame show is brought to you by our friends, of course, at McFarland Energy. Switch to McFarland Energy for oil delivery for a free 2-year service plan and remote tank monitor, or get $500 off a new heating system at McFarland Energy. There was not a lot of McFarland Energy in the New England Patriots from the start tonight, Andy. Did it look to you as it did me? And here, there was Mayo saying my least favorite thing that head coaches and anyone associated with football teams, football games say, like, well, you know, we'll look at the tape. We just got to come back and be better. Good. Wow. Great.
I would advise that as well. I would definitely advise that.
I would definitely advise you look at the film. Actually, you know what? Burn the film. Stomp out the hard drives. Maybe Robin Glazer can walk in slow motion down the hallway at the stadium. Bring the hammer from the dynasty. Smash them up real nice for you. Never look at him again, because you didn't do one single damn thing well tonight. And then, except punt. Oh, and the field goal looked nice.
Yeah.
Then what I would do is just move on to letting everybody rest up, because they looked tired. They were running in mud. They were in slow motion. They were in maybe second gear, and the Jets were in fourth and at times fifth. It looked like two completely different classes of football teams on the field tonight. And I, for one, just like many of the reporters peppering Mayo with questions in the postgame presser, can't help but wonder, hey, coach, how are you going to fix this?
Well, this was, I told you I thought this was a pivotal game for sort of the culture and what we were seeing from Gerard Mayo and the run through a wall mentality. That was not there tonight on any level. They couldn't block. They couldn't tackle. They were doing stupid things in terms of penalties and the late hits. And they laid an absolute Thursday night road egg. And I think there are some Patriots fans that may just rack this up to that. Oh, it's Thursday night on the road. This happens sometimes. Okay. I mean, if you want to whistle past that graveyard and just ignore the elephant in the room, that is your prerogative as a fan. I think they have some soul searching to do. For example, the snarky Andy might look at the tight end group and say, wait, Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper only caught 3 passes for 28 yards. They should probably bitch about it, so maybe they'll get the ball thrown their way next week. Because I'm with Mike Giardi. This was a defense that couldn't stop the run. You were an offense that could run. And yet, it didn't seem like you came in with the intention of just running the ball down their throats. And I know the offensive line is banged up. It is what it is. But it's not like they're good at pass protection and you were like, wow, we can throw the ball a little bit more. It felt like they intended to throw the ball more tonight and throw it to guys that were bitching. And I hate that if that's what happened. Like this, you whine and you get what you want.
We're going to be aerially dynamic tonight. Here it comes. Here are those great deep. There was one deep pass and there was a pass interference on it. But what was the point? Like, were you
they had the deep crosser to Douglas later. Like, they had a couple. He missed Hooper on one.
He missed Hooper. That was a huge miss.
Yeah, it was. And he does that. He's done that with regularity. He's done that with regularity. But when you control the game and you play lesser opponents, you were playing Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers carved you up defensively. And, you know, we're not doing thumbs up and thumbs down tonight, because we've already mentioned the two thumbs up, the punter and the kicker. And the thumbs down is everybody else. It was across
not a single player in that team that can say, like, nope. Well, I balled out tonight.
Nope. Ramondre Stevenson, hold on to the damn ball. This is 3 weeks in a row. I don't know what happened to the ball last week. I saw a man take it from you this week. This wasn't even a fumble. This was Teddy Bruschi style. I want it more than you do. I'm just going to take the ball from you and give the ball to my team. And
like
that
apathy sunk in. Like he got tackled and he's like, just sort of like going into business decision mode, and apathy sunk in, and he's like, oh no, well, I guess that guy wanted it more than I did. Like,
yeah,
you can't have that happen.
To me, that was symbolic of this game. That play was symbolic of this game, the who wanted it more kind of mentality. And they got some soul searching to do. Now, I don't think Drake May should start in San Francisco, but my timeline that I've said all along from day one is spot on. He got garbage time against the Jets. I think he'll get garbage time in San Francisco next week. And then I think he'll start against the Miami Dolphins in week five at Gillette Stadium, because Jacoby Brissett, he ain't him. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I love him. I have so much respect for the guy's attitude, work ethic, professionalism, everything that goes into it.
Admirable professional, sir.
Yes. But it's his time has passed here, and for his own benefit, too. I respect him. He could pull a Terry Glenn. I'd be like, ah, my hamstring. Yeah, coach, I don't think I can go out there because I'm sick of getting hit. But he doesn't. He keeps going out there until they tell him not to. But you need to change something up, because you got nothing right now. You got, and we knew this. We knew, even in a league where the running numbers are up and the passing numbers are down, you can't play football the way they are seemingly built. Like, you just can't do it, because, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to drive down the field. Oh, we're porked. We're not playing from ahead. This game isn't a one-score game. We're not in control of the tempo of this game. You can't play that way. You have to have a passing game. You have to utilize the entirety of the field. And they just don't appear equipped to do it. And I know the whole offensive line stinks and you're going to break Drake May. Okay, I don't know. He's a paid professional too. Like, he's going to have to get out there and run a little bit, and you're going to have to be better. But all the coaches, I thought this was a huge question mark game for Jerod Mayo, DeMarcus Covington, and Alex Van Pelt. And I would give an F to all three of them. I thought all three of them got absolutely pantsed.
Do you wonder somehow when, like, there's a big play early that doesn't go your way, that erases a positive play for you, sets up, it turns into a negative, and then it helps build momentum for the other team, a team you can barely cede any momentum or ground to? Again, we've talked numerous times to a point where I'm already sick of it, and it's not even October 1st, about how this team's got no margin for error. Got it. Okay. Yes, we all understand that now. The Jelani Tavai penalty, like, it was if he was trying to set some sort of tone, like, I'm going to show you how physical we are. I'm going to grab this guy. I'm going to suplex him into the turf at MetLife. Right in front of the ref, in their stadium, you had already stopped Breece Hall for a 5-yard loss. You yep. had a positive play. You made a difference. The Jets were about to have 2nd and 15 or 16, and instead, you gave them 21 extra yards because that was a penalty. So you negate the 5 to 6 yard loss. You give them a free 15 yards, and then zip, zip, zap, zing. Aaron Rodgers has them in the end zone, touchdown.
Yeah, it's unacceptable. And I thought there were a lot of those. Like, Josh Uche has a late hit on Aaron Rodgers, gets a sack a few plays later, and then flexes. You're down 21-3. That's some loser-ish in my mind. Like, what are you flexing for? Were you flexing after you, after the Allen kid ran through you? Should have been a tackle for a loss, for 3-yard loss. Instead, he ended up with a 1-yard gain because you couldn't tackle him. Were you flexing after that? I think they're a very unprofessional football team right now. I think they have some soul searching to do as a group. And, you know, you lose a guy like Juwan Bentley, I think that hurts on the field, but I think it hurts in those places too. I think he's the kind of guy, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, that might say, hey, Tavai, WTF. Hey, Uche. Sorry, what is it? Uche? It's not Uche.
Uche.
Uche. Hey, Uche, WTF. And they've lost some of that. And Jerod Mayo, what did he say? Based on the score, I need to do more, he said. I agree. This is a cultural turn point for him. And they want to be a certain kind of team and open and all new agey and all those things, which I think is required. Like, the Bill Belichick way was dying on the vine. I think that's clear. We've talked a lot about that. We don't need to go down that road.
Fewer hard-ass vibes.
But football's still a hard-ass sport, right? Mm-hmm. It's still... So between the hard-ass vibes and the hard-ass sport, you got to find a happy medium somewhere right there. Because right now you're a dumbass football team, I'd say.
Isn't it just crazy?
They're not hard ass. They're dumbass right now.
That's not happy or medium. Fewer hard ass vibes, more dumbass vibes. This is honestly an open ended and relevant question. How do you go from so buttoned up, so well prepared, so hard ass, so tough ass, the Take 'Em to the Hill gang for a week and a half ago, 10, 11 days ago, not to go full Chris Farley, like, hey, remember, man, when we beat the Bengals week one? Yeah, and everyone said we were back. That was awesome.
And they never won again.
Yeah, and then the next week they had a chance, and they blow it. Coaching, Jacoby Brissett taking a sack, getting a field goal blocked, et cetera, et cetera. And then they were just...
You remember that? Yes.
That was awesome. Tonight was not awesome. Tonight was everything in the opposite of awesome. It was the complete antonym to opposite. It was just terrible. David Andrews said as much on the podium just a few minutes ago as well. He called tonight's performance, quote, bad. Bad in all phases. We didn't play a game like we wanted to play. They dictated what we wanted to do. Well, I mean, if they're the better team, the more talented team, it'd be weird to say that the Jets are that much better coach team. I mean, the head coach of the team went to go give Aaron Rodgers a hug tonight, and millions of people saw via either the broadcast or social media, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, push the coach away and say, it's too early. So obviously everything is far from right in Jetsylvania right now, but it seems a whole lot better. Aaron Rodgers said after the game, I felt pretty good tonight. I was doing some things I did as a younger man. Well, when you have a defense full of people playing out of position, cornerbacks that are 8 inches shorter than the giant receivers that they're trying to cover in the end zone, a healthy offensive line. You know what happens? The Moses guy goes out. Do you know who the Jets bring in?
First round pick, left tackle Fashanu, who was ironically playing right tackle while his former college teammate was playing left tackle for the Patriots.
Yes, and Fashanu is considered a can't-miss project, a top blue-chip prospect, and could be a lockdown offensive lineman for 10 to 12 years. Caden Wallace is hurt because he got ragdolled a bunch of times tonight, called for holding multiple times, had to deal with a face full of Quinnen Williams, never a good thing. This is, by the way, a Jets defensive line in pass rush, as we were told this week by our pal Will Parkinson on Turn on the Jets and others. We were told, well, there's no Bryce Huff anymore. There's no Jonathan Franklin Myers. Jermaine Johnson's down for the year. So a lot of the teeth of that rush was missing and or will be missing for the duration of the year. Oh, and by the way, Hassan Reddick is somewhere in Cuckoo Cachoo Town and not playing and deciding to forfeit $800,000 every week. And yet still, the Jets had their way with the Patriots offensive line tonight. I just can't believe people gave us a hard time for saying all offseason long, you're doing it again. You're ignoring the offensive line. The bill is going to come due, and it's going to be a miserable check to write.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go back and start taking receipts or whatever, I mean, there was a lot of spot-on analysis this offseason. And Jacoby,
we were going to go to commercial, but Jacoby Brissett is at the podium. He made it.
Really did anything well, to be honest with you. You know, so hats off to the defense. You know, their defense had a hell of a plan for us. You know, got a long weekend to look at the film and, you know, regroup and recalibrate and steer the ship right. Steer the ship right going forward.
You got hit five times, sacked five times, hit 10 times. How much more can you take? And also just what was it like for you just trying to get off plays?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big man. I can take it. You know, I'm always get back up. You know, that's one thing about me. I'm always get back up. You know, and finding ways to make plays, man. That's what it comes down to. You know, it's football. I'm supposed to get hit. You know, I didn't sign up for this sport to not get hit. So I don't really pay attention to that.
You mentioned the Jets' plan. How would you describe?
Yeah. You know, I think they just had our number. You know, you know, when we're in clear passing situations, you know, they were obviously teeing off and things like that. But, you know, it'll be interesting to go back and see the film and see what you know, what they, you know, tried to accomplish coming out and see what we can do because we play them again. You know, they're not a division, so we got to get ready for them again. Yeah.
We talked to you after the Seattle game. You mentioned when you wanted to take shot plays, you felt like they had some sort of tell.
you know, did you have any sort of sense here? Because I know they seemed to be blitzing a lot when you were dropping back.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to throw the ball down the field, right? Got a PI on one, Miss Hunter, Hooper on one, but we're trying to get the ball down the field, and I just think that it really came down to we didn't execute well tonight. I think that falls back on me, obviously, as a quarterback. So got to find ways to get better at that.
How did the coaches handle kind of telling you they were going to let Dre take that last series, and how do you feel about that?
Told me he's going in. I mean, what? I'm not going to argue. Well, I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah, he just told me he's going in.
And then Gerard said before, like, I don't know what we do going forward. The coach don't want to look at it. Like, do you still feel like it's your job or?
Oh, of course. I mean, I don't make personnel decisions. My job is to go out there, get ready to play, put good football on tape, and put my best foot forward.
You guys have been so successful running the ball. How much did you see them devote extra resources to take that away from you, or was it more just situational?
I think a mixture of both. We got to a point where it was like we need to throw the ball, and I think obviously early in the game, one of our first runs, they got us pretty good on one of the runs that we had, but other than that, it was just situation, and then pretty much that, yeah.
Did you think your forward progress was stopped the second quarter when you kind of got spun by?
But I mean they're trying to protect me,
Jacoby, when Gerard was in here, he said that there were some plays that maybe were called runs or passes in the huddle that you guys had to check in and out of at the line of scrimmage. How often would you say that happened?
A mixture. I mean, like I said, it really didn't come down to the plays. It was just like they just beat our ass, to be honest with you.
Jacoby, obviously the pressure made it rough, but did you feel outside of the missed Austin Hooper that there were maybe any throws that you could have made but weren't able to tonight?
I don't know. We'll see.
So it was a butt kicking, basically. How do you feel going forward in the next 10 days? What do you think needs to be done for your offense in order to get ready to be good to go here?
Yeah. We got to get our energy back. I think that's one. Obviously attention to detail and focus. Is another thing, and it'll be a good time for us to, reflect and see like what we're good at, what we need to do better at, and then, it's early in the season, it's only the third game, so we've got a long season ahead, so it's just a matter of like how we respond to, after, like you said, these 10 days, and then we get back to work on Monday.
And as a leader, how challenging has it been with all the changing faces on the offensive line just to feel like you guys can get into a rhythm?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough. I mean, those guys, they're battling their ass off, man. And I tip my hat to them, it's not an easy job. Honestly, I don't want that job, but I respect those guys for going out there and just, trying their best. And that's all you can ask for, man. It's just give me your best. I'm going to give them my best. And at the end of the day, we'll see where we at.
Jacoby, I know you weren't here when Gerard answered the question, which was alluded to earlier, but he was asked about a possible change of quarterback and sort of what was, I don't know. I'm not trying to get you to say any kind of way. I'm just curious how you feel when I tell you his words were, I don't know, we'll have to review for the situation.
Coach, that's I'm not going to overreact to something that I didn't hear. So, yeah.
Thanks.
It really didn't come down to the plays. They just beat our ass tonight. Wow.
I agree. And he also said they have to get their energy back when asked about what they can do over the next 10 days to get ready for the next game. And I agree with that as well.
How do you get your energy back when you know that you don't have enough talent to compete in your own division or the conference or the league and you're lacking what you need to be a dynamic or entertaining, even competitive football team?
That's where Coach Mayo gets paid the big bucks. Probably not as big as the guy who came before him, but he gets the big bucks to do those types of things. This is not, for the faint of heart, what he is going through. And he knew it. I give him credit because he said it from day one. We're going to win games, whether it's this year or next. He knew what he was in for, but I also told you got to watch everybody because they think they know what they're in for. And then when it actually starts to pile up, the pressure and the stress and the questions, like there was even a question in there where I thought Jacoby got annoyed. Were there other throws that you felt like you could have made? And it's like, I don't know. Like, what do you mean? Yeah, I'm trying to make every throw. I didn't make every throw. So, yeah, there's throws I'd like to make other than the Hooper miss. And I think those types of frustrations will only build in the coming weeks because, you know my phrase, losing is undefeated. It beats everybody. It beats everybody to a pulp.
They may have had some attitude, but as far as your other principle, very little energy and a half-decent effort at best, but it seemed like things were flagging as the game continued. And by halftime, had they just called it for everyone's benefit? Yes.
Speaking of which, just real quick, I want to keep with my brand. The refs suck, too. They were terrible.
They were awful. Some of those holding calls weren't holding.
Well, the offsetting holding...
there was a penalty on every single play.
The offsetting holding on David Andrews and the pass interference on the Jets, neither of which happened. They offset each other, and I guess they got lucky because they called two penalties, so it didn't really affect anybody.
No one hit him on the pass interference.
Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Yeah. And
Phantom.
It amazes me sometimes how bad these guys are. They fit in with the game. So the Jets were good tonight. Aaron Rodgers was good. The Patriots and the referees were not.
No, they were not indeed, and we're here for your calls. Whatever it is you'd like to say, 617-779-7937. That's your telephone number. That's the Grouse line. That's your complaint hotline up until 1 a.m. We've heard from Jacoby Brissett. We have heard from Coach Jerod Mayo. We look forward to hearing from you right here as we carry on with the Six Rings postgame show brought to you by McFarland Energy, only on WEEI.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You said you were going to evaluate film based on quarterback performance. Is there a possibility you consider a change?
I don't know. Look, we talk about every single week, you know, you're competing for a job. So we'll get together as a coaching staff and see where it goes.
There's your head coach, everybody. Jerod Mayo talking about coming together as a coaching staff and making a decision as to whether or not it's prudent for them to start Jacoby Brissett 10 days from now on the road, Sunday 4:05 tilt in San Francisco. Actually, it's a little like 50 minutes outside San Francisco. That's fine. It's against the Niners. Or will they start the kid, Drake May, who is currently getting the business on Twitter because, as Mike Garofolo tweeted out, Drake May stood nearby while Aaron Rodgers did his interview and said, quote, "I'm waiting for the GOAT." Well, that's not going to go over well in Pat's Nation. On a night when no one had anything fun to look at, and as I scroll through Twitter, and it's just a series of Thursday Night Football sucks, this O-line sucks, shame on ownership, shame on Elliott Wolf, Mayo's in over his head. Every single photo I look at of all the Patriots players, Andy, that are at the podium, they all look like they had just been in a mine for 30 days.
I think they're shell-shocked. I think this even surprised them. And it should. It should disappoint them. I agree with Jacoby Brissett. But the question is, how do you fix it? Where do you go from here? You are who you are talent-wise, and that's why mm-hmm. you mentioned earlier Elliott Wolf. Some of this falls in Elliott Wolf's lap. And I know Jerod Mayo kept telling us, oh, reports about the offensive line are overblown. And, well, not really. And it's why I told you after week one when the offensive line was taking a victory lap. And I said, so you rushed for 120 yards, Ramondre Stevenson. 118 of them were after contact. Mm-hmm. Tell me again why I should praise the offensive line. And Jacoby Brissett was hit on 50% of his dropbacks. Tell me again why I should praise the offensive line. You won, and you controlled the game. You played the game on your terms, but I think that was a lot about Jacoby Brissett and Ramondre Stevenson being two tough mofos more than it was the offensive line having some shut-your-mouth media, we told you we're better than you said we are kind of performance. And since then, it has deteriorated. It started at a, I would say, below-average level and has gotten worse in each of the 2 weeks. I would also say that's the story of this team. You're only 3 weeks in, so I don't want to make this big picture, you know, point, but you, week one, played the game on your terms. Week two, tried to play the game on your terms until you then gagged it away with terrible situational football.
Lost it, and then it had no more terms.
And then week three, well, you just kind of sucked.
There were 2 weeks in a row, Andy, where a quarterback. So Aaron Rodgers tonight, I believe, was 27 for 35. Let's pull up the old box score here. Aaron Rodgers, 27 of 35, 281 yards, two touchdowns, 120 quarterback rating.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No, it's pretty good.
Last week,
pretty
Geno Smith, good. Close to 80% completion, ran around wherever he wanted to. Coach Mayo said, we got to do better at containing the quarterback. This just in, they didn't tonight. Aaron Rodgers looked like he was 10, 12 years his junior.
Are we sure he's coming off that ruptured Achilles? Four snaps into last season?
Braverman, is it you, me, or whoever? And by the way, it is 11:59. It's about to turn midnight in just a second. Happy birthday, Joe Braverman. Look what the Patriots
got for
now. Joe.
Worst birthday present ever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, well, it just ended or it's just starting?
It just ended.
Oh, happy birthday.
Too late to the game, us. Andy.
Oh, belated. Us. Happy birthday.
That's better.
Andy's the guy that doesn't bother if he goes on your Facebook wall and says happy birthday and you're like, it was 4 days ago. He doesn't erase that one. He leaves that up and then just writes belated afterwards.
I'm not on Facebook, so you'll never have that problem.
Good. Don't be. It's awful. Kind of like the Patriots offensive line and general offensive performance tonight. It is
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Thoughts.
I'm going to get to the caller soon.
Thoughts on Christian Gonzalez?
Like his mom's t-shirt said, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not all-world elite. Shut down or $30 million worth yet.
Okay.
I mean, he tried to make a play on that Garrett Wilson touchdown. The throw was perfect. The catch was tight. Like, it didn't work. He got beat. He's still very good, but we need to, again, I know you love bringing this up because you want to steer into you people territory because it's after midnight and you either wish that you were in an armchair with a beer in bed or both. I got it. I get you.
I just wanted to give you the opportunity before I sullied the conversation.
Tear into him.
No, I don't want to tear into him. I'm kind of sick and tired of hearing how dominant, great, whatever the different things I see. He's good. And I give him credit as essentially rookie mm-hmm. of...
This is his rookie season, basically, yes.
Matching up with Ja'Marr Chase and matching up with DK Metcalf and matching up with Garrett Wilson and holding his own. I don't want to hear he's shutting everybody down because he was a hair away from having a bad night, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, the motion could have been a touchdown easily, and he fell down on it. He stumbled all over himself on it. I thought he tackled poorly, like the rest of the team, so I don't want to blame him for that. Tackling, for a guy of his size, he should be a better tackler. I think that is a area where he needs to work to get better. I think he's going to be very good. I don't think he's very good yet. I think he's good right now. He's a good corner. And I appreciate the challenge of what he's doing with the matchups. Can we just let him develop normally into where he's going to be and where he's going to go and not expedite that or project that when it's not the reality of right now?
Can I tell you why I believe Pats fans are so ready to anoint him the chosen one and put him in a yellow jacket with a bronze bust in Canton?
Why?
Because there's really nobody else.
I would say...
They're so desperate for stars. They're so desperate to have someone they can boast about. They really
are. There's truth in that. I think there's some truth in that. And I appreciate that. And I want him to be great, too, because I love stars. I love what Shohei Ohtani is doing.
I
love specialness. I mean, I come from a generation where Bo Jackson was the measuring stick. You saw something special. I want to see special again. It's why I loved Gronk. I think he was truly a special player.
That's why I love Tom Brady. That's why I love all these people.
Because
I never wanted to miss a single moment. I didn't want to miss a play. There was a chance they were going to go off and do something memorable, viral, special, defiant, spectacular. Game winning.
Now,
There's nothing special on this team. It's nothing exceptional about them at all.
We want to grasp on to how special Keon White is, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And I like him. I think he's a good player. I love his motor. There was a point in the second half where it almost like he said, damn it, I'll do it myself. He was like pressuring the quarterback. Then he's chasing down the dump pass down the field. And I appreciate that. He's not special. Like Will McDonough is doing, I mean, not Will McDonough, Will McDonald is doing the same thing on the other side of the ball for them. He's got 5.5 sacks over the last couple weeks. Like, they're both good pass rushers. They're not special. Ramondre Stevenson, we want to talk ourselves into how special is Kirk Herbstreit. He makes people miss as well as anyone in the game or something like that. You know what else he does? Fumbles. Like, this team right now doesn't have special. It doesn't have anyone that I can hang my hat on. And you're right. I think the closest thing is Gonzalez. So therefore, people are latching on to that. But the reality is right now, they don't have anything anywhere near special.
617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We will get to all of your calls. Jake, Andrew, Brian, Bob, do not go anywhere. It is all about you. It is time for the Foxborough Faithful's Frustrations. When we come back and get our show back on the clock and back on track, this is the Six Rings Postgame Show brought to you by McFarland Energy, live on WEEI.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.